Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
All right, a lot going on in the world of the National Football League as everybody's kind of circling the draft coming up at the end of next month. You got the owners' meetings going on where Robert Kraft is saying that he is taking it very personally and was not happy with the way that the Dynasty, the Apple TV documentary, portrayed his organization's Super Bowl runs, despite the fact he was on it for all 10 episodes. Very prominently
didn't interview. Like the way that reality was portrayed, and then also
didn't like Bill Belichick getting thrown under the bus.
I mean, what about it?
Only you could have changed it.
Wasn't real.
Did all of the players saying that we were coached by Belichick, but we played for Tom. Well, I think that was pretty telling.
Did you just not want the unsaid things to be said there,
yeah,
old Robbie?
Yeah. Said them all out loud, buddy. Said them all out loud. But the NFL is actually conducting business down. It's in Orlando. We have Orlando is where these meetings are going on, not Boca or Miami. Mm. But we have a new kickoff in the NFL approved today.
We do.
The new kickoff.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Yeah. Basically, if you are one of 15 people that watch the XFL, they're going to have the XFL kickoff now. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the kicker is on the minus 40-yard line. He is kicking the ball across the 50. Lined up on the plus 40-yard line, so on the other side of the 50, mm-hmm. is the kick team.
20 yards away from the kicker.
That's right. Across from them are... nine return team defenders, mm-hmm. or offenders. They are lined up in a stagnant stance. You have two return men that are deep. There's mm-hmm. this thing called like the landing zone, right? Where if it is, the ball is caught in there, it must be returned. And that's like between the 20 and the goal line.
Yes.
This is to ensure that you have more returns across football.
Yeah, a part of the game that went away. The interesting thing about this, as we go through all of the explainers on this,
yeah,
this is a lot like learning football for the first time. This is like if you're British and you're like, explain this game to me, and then you start going down this list. Yeah. How absurd this kickoff is very, very absurd.
It really is.
But I get what they're doing, and I applaud it. Because they're bringing kickoffs back in the game. We just had a guy in Devin Hester make the Hall of Fame, yes. because of how impactful he was in the return game.
So kickers on the 35, kickoff team players, 10 of them will be on the 40. 9 members of the receiving team are in the setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard lines. 2 receivers in the landing zone between the goal line and the 20. Got that? Touchbacks now are more penal for the kicking team. They want to have returns. Touchbacks go to the 30-yard line now. Okay? I like that because it incentivizes the team to kick a returnable kick. Because when you're starting at the 40-yard line, okay, for your kick coverage team, you're saying, all right, go make a play in before that 10-yard window. Right? I mean,
sure.
So you're going to put it up in the air. Now, the kickoff team and those 9 players, they cannot move until the ball is either touched by a return man or the ball hits in the landing zone, so between the 20-yard line and the goal line.
Okay.
Right? I think what this will lead to, and what it has is less of the big collisions, so those, you know, 30-yard head start running collisions that you have. You have but still incentivizing having a return as a viable option in the game.
Which has gone missing. But also, I'm still stuck on the fact that you said penal.
Yeah. Penalizes you, man.
Penal.
Play in the California Penal League.
There you go.
But this is a... whatever. Onside kicks are dead with this.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
So onside kicks, you're going to have to declare... I declare an onside kick!
Yeah, that's dumb.
Nothing you can do there.
And in that, I thought with the possible changes for normal kickoffs, they were saying that they would, since you have to tell people that an onside kick is coming, they're going to revert back to old onside kick rules. Is that not, I mean, we could still see some other rule changes, but that's not happening?
I don't know.
I mean, the whole reason that we love watching that fourth quarter of an NFL game is because when a team is still down by two scores, they have that potential.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're also making it really hard to officiate games, but also easier, too. Sky Judge, so the booth official, will have more power.
Power, yes.
On what he can step in and overrule in a short order, so we don't have to have a long, drawn-out review. It can be really quick in the air and be like, hey, you guys screwed that up. We need to...
It was a catch.
...button this thing up. But also, I think what makes it really hard to officiate, the new swivel hip drop tackle rule, man.
The videos that they showed, good luck.
If you don't know what the swivel hip drop tackle is, it's what injured, they're using it in the video for teaching purposes.
Mark Andrews
tackle by Wilson of the Bengals. That's a really tough one.
It's unfortunate that Andrews got hurt. But you watch the clip. There's no other viable way for the defender to make the tackle.
But I think what we're doing is we've seen this, and there's a reason why we're seeing more of the swivel hip drop tackles is because it took a cycle of players to go through Pop Warner football all the way up to professional before we saw the helmet to helmets really start falling dramatically.
Yes.
We have retrained football players how to tackle.
Yeah.
And basically what the hip drop in there, you can do a hip drop tackle. It's the swivel part that they want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what injured like Tony Pollard, that injury. So what they in the heads up tackling program, anybody that's coached or played football with like in high school over the last like decade, you guys know the Gator rule is something that they really started emphasizing. And what the Gator, they want to get the Gator roll out of the hip drop tackle. That's the swivel part of it. You're still able to tackle and wrap up a guy at the waist and fall down. It is when you do the Gator roll over the top where that tackle gets really dangerous. And that is what they're going to penalize here.
But the flip side of this is, what the hell?
It's
Look. I'm all for player safety. I am. But every one of these 1,750 dudes every single year knows what they signed up for. It is a violent, physical game that stuff can happen. And there is getting to the point of what the hell, how can you tackle somebody?
Well, it should be noted that the belief is, and we'll see a lot in the preseason and probably over the first couple of weeks, that you will see flags.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that this is going to be enforced is mostly through league letters and fines. And that's how they want to try to get it out of the game.
Because
if you're
putting flags on this stuff, there's so much gray area.
It will be a 15-yard penalty, though. And that when it does get called, it's not going to be... It's really difficult to call this penalty.
So if a guy happens to do the hip drop tackle, but if he lets go at the right time and rolls over the top, but he doesn't have his fingers locked, like, this is the stupidity of the game that we're getting into now.
Yeah, it makes it really hard. It truly does. But you think of it, if you don't think of it as they're trying to, and it will be when flags start flying and 15 yarders get out there, it's going to be brutal. But we don't see nearly as many helmet-to-helmet penalties anymore, right?
Sure.
And that is because what the NFL wants to do, and this is the only way that you can do it, is they want to retrain players how to tackle and tackle safely. And so that's why they're doing this with this with the hip the swivel hip drop tackle, is because this is the how do you get guys to change in pro sports? You hit them in their pocketbook.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to try to get this, is it's going to take another cycle. It's going to be like 5 to 8 years before we really start seeing guys who have retrained themselves from high school football to when they get to college, before and then eventually into the NFL, before they finally figure it out and learn.
This feels like the NFL juicing offense even more.
But I think
that's what this is.
It's hard. And
they are.
I don't think they're intentionally trying to juice NFL. I think they're listening to the players who have said, "I would rather get hit high than low, 10 times."
Yes, which
and so this is where
they want guys leading with their shoulder again.
They're saying, "I don't want to get like this tackle. I don't like." It's impossible for officials, and this rule I do not
like. It's impossible for players.
I do not like one bit.
So you can't go high on a guy. You can't go low on a guy. So now you're just making it to where you got to square a guy up perfectly, and heaven forbid you come at any kind of angle. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this is insanely stupid. I get that it's it can be a dangerous play. I understand it. It's a dangerous game.
It is.
Them's the breaks. It sucks.
Do they pass this rule if, and I know that there's former players that are complaining a lot. There's some current players, and mostly defenders, but do they pass this rule if players aren't complaining to the league about it?
Oh, I'm sure offensive players are complaining about it.
But a lot, yeah. And they're saying, we're having more of these injuries occur annually because this is how they're tackling. If you don't look at it as they're trying to take it away from defense, they're trying to retrain the future generations to
that's
not
fine,
tackle like that. But it is punitive right now.
Yes, and yeah, not even is. That. Even going forward.
It is.
There's only so many ways you can tackle somebody.
Yeah.
You can't hit guys going across the middle anymore. You got to wait until they see you now. Heaven forbid, your head doesn't get perfectly across somebody's chest. You can't go from the side. You can't go down low. Like, where the hell are you supposed to hit somebody?
And it's every time a star player goes down that we start to see rule changes discussed and then actually implemented. If this were like David Njoku week 2, you know, that this happened to, would we care as much? No. Mark Andrews, one of the top 5, 6, 7 tight ends in the league. It's just kind of concerning to see, if it happens to this guy, whatever. But, if it happens to me, it's a problem. And I don't think we've seen that actually implemented equally across the league.
The NFL made their bed in this, and they react to it. This isn't as bad as the making pass interference reviewable.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's not a great rule.
No. their own videos they showed in three different clips. We both looked at it and went, what the hell?
And that's the thing, the Logan Wilson one on Mark Andrews.
There's nothing else he could have done.
By their description, which is wrapping up and then rolling over as you go limp with your body over the legs of a player, that is deemed the swivel hip drop. Mm-hmm. Logan Wilson wraps up with one arm, like he only has one arm around him. The other arm doesn't go around the waist of Mark Andrews.
It's right, around his legs.
It goes to the same side. And so he only has one arm, and he just kind of rolls over the back of him. By the description of the rule, that doesn't fit what he did, yet it was on the teaching tape.
Because it was Mark Andrews getting hurt. That's why.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very dumb.
But this is the world we live in, right? People are going to stop watching football, right? Isn't that how it goes now?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just going to make the game. I like the player safety stuff. I get it. I know CTE and concussions. I understand it fully. But for the love of God, these people aren't dumb. They know what they signed up for.
Yep.
Quit trying to legislate their own malice out of the game.
Well, yeah, but that's the hard part, is that they're just listening to their players too.
I don't think they're listening to all of them. I think they're listening to the guys on one side of the ball.
Well, the rules are passing overwhelmingly.
When was the last time a change was made in the NFL that benefited the defense? Find that one for me.
When they took away the pass interference review rule.
Okay.
And then...
But that doesn't change the way the game is played.
I would say
this is changing the way the game is played.
Onside kick changed, but that it indirectly benefits the defense, but not really.
Yeah.
There has not been a rule change or an emphasis that has empowered the defense in a decade.
What rule would empower the defense that you could do? Think of that. Like, they're changing rules. I'm not a big fan of the swivel hip tackle rule that they implemented. What do they need to change? Because I have one really easy one. We'll get to that. And then also, AD Wars next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, we've got, we're talking rules that have benefited. And there actually, as I was thinking about it during the break, there has been one that the NFL is actually enforcing more regularly, much to the chagrin of guys like Patrick Mahomes, we remember. They restricted, remember, we used to be 3 yards that lineman could be downfield, and then the RPO game, they shrunk it to 1.
Mm.
So there's that, but that's like small potatoes
here. Yeah.
I think that one thing that the NFL really needs to do, and if they had the huevos to do it, it would benefit the game tremendously, and I think the NBA could definitely help by this too. They need to overhaul their entire rule book.
Yes.
And shorten it. Mm-hmm. Make it easier. Make it
simplify and streamline.
You have corrected over corrections and then corrected again so many times that the rule book is to the point where it doesn't make sense anymore. Yeah. But I think if you're talking purely from things that would help a defense in that make a ton of sense, I, for the life of me, do not understand why illegal contact is an automatic first down. It's a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah.
And it's an automatic first down. Yeah. We're not talking, you know, pass interference or even like some defensive holdings, right? If a defensive holding happens, you shouldn't get an automatic first down on defensive holding. You have to replay a down if you have offensive holding. But if it's third down and 17 and there's a defensive holding, you get an automatic first down. I do not understand that for the life of me. Illegal contact, I think, should just be a 5-yard penalty.
That's fair.
I've got a spicier one. That makes sense.
Opening up the 5-yard buffer window for contact to 7.
The chuck rule?
Yeah, open it to 7.
That'd be all right.
I think that would have a pretty significant impact, too.
I think just calling offensive pass interference as they call defensive pass interference, there's so much grabbing, pushing, pulling. Like, defensive backs are cheaters.
Yes.
They're really dumb and they can't catch. Mm-hmm. That is just how receivers view them. Mm-hmm. Our receivers get away with way more.
Yeah.
Way more.
There's a lot of push-offs.
In that,
regularly.
I think that you could help defenses then, too.
I think if you allow somebody to chuck somebody past 5 yards, all of a sudden, now your corners that all don't run 4-2s, they get a chance to be more physical with you for a little bit longer.
But I think that people say they want this now, but as quarterbacks' completion percentages plummet below 60%, as you start seeing lower scoring games, I don't think a majority of people would want that.
I think that there needs to be something.
Because here's where it would affect them. Their fantasy football.
Mm.
We laugh, but what did... Daily fantasy was the first thing the NFL went full steam ahead on.
It's true.
And that matters to people. People like points.
Money.
Oh, God, it's so stupid.
Money.
Money. Pat Chun is getting more money.
Indeed.
Washington State's athletic director, sorry, Cougs, you've lost your basketball coach and your AD in the same week.
In the span of 48 hours.
That's not a good two days.
Great job getting coaching them up. Developing them.
Pat Chun will head from Pullman over to Seattle. Mm. He will take over at UW for Troy Dannon, who was just introduced today at Nebraska. Mm. I think this is a home run hire.
It is.
I mean, Pat Chun has done a phenomenal job at Washington State with the hire of guys like Kyle Smith. And Jake Dickert, I think, was a good hire.
That was a great hire.
But if you also look at what he did when prior to coming to Washington State, he hired Dusty May at Florida Atlantic, hired Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic.
By the way, Lane Kiffin, now the head coach at Ole Miss, Dusty May,
Michigan.
Now the head coach at Michigan.
Yeah.
He
does a very good job. He can run an athletic department. He was groomed at Ohio State, and people thought that he was going to get that Ohio State job.
That stayed open longer than we all thought. We all thought it was going to quick, fast, in a hurry. It took like 6 months to fill that spot.
Yeah, they did their due diligence, because running Ohio State is a different beast than
else. You might even call it a billion-dollar industry.
And think about Ohio State in this regard. Like, there are very few universities that have a dominant football and basketball program and women's basketball program. Mm-hmm. Like, Ohio State is really good in all of their
Disgusting.
Sports. Sure, it is, but they're consistent.
In fact, I think
they're
just win the hockey national title?
Yeah, I'll take your word for that.
They just won some national title out of nowhere, and it was like, wait, what the hell?
Oh, so they're good. Huh. All right.
Turns out having all that money and all those students.
I think Pat Chun is a really good hire, though.
It's a great hire for the Huskies.
6-year deal. He's going to be there for a while. That means nothing, though. Troy Dannon, I think, signed a 5-year deal, and he was gone in 5 months.
It is funny to hear the comments from 6 months ago, local news guys talking to Chun about, you know, how is this fight against Washington and the Pac-12 going to look for you? And it's like, oh, you know, I'm a little mad at them, but, well, I guess if you can't beat him, join him. So you go, Pat.
He was quite literally testifying in court like 6 months ago on behalf of Washington State against UW and the 10 schools leaving. And now he's like, can't beat him, join him. Yeah. And so now he's heading over to UW. And you know what was crazy? I saw this pop up. There was after Washington State lost over the weekend to Iowa State, he was asked about Kyle Smith and how they replaced. And his response was, "We'll see where life takes us."
Okay.
That's a little ominous. where life takes us.
You mean out of Pullman?
Life takes us to
UW. But now you have, these are critical hires for Washington State, both basketball and at your AD position.
Absolutely.
This is going to be really tough to navigate these waters because they are murky right now for the Cougs.
It seems like Washington just continually ends up in the news, or Eastern Washington, or right on the other side of the border in Idaho. Well, look, Eastern Washington / Idaho, get your stuff together. But first, here's Jordan Schultz with a Sports Center update. We're never going to get rid of stupidity.
Oh, really?
No matter how hard
we
try.
You don't
say. This is the kind of stupidity, though, that, like, this... I will hold this theory until proven otherwise.
Okay.
When anybody says violence doesn't solve anything,
they
don't understand history, because it solves literally everything.
Knowing how close this stupidity is to me makes me want to be violent. So I hear you.
It's very, very, very dumb. And if you don't know what I'm talking about here, University of Utah women's basketball team, their coach in the post-game press conference said that her team was targeted by a series of racial hate crimes after arriving in Idaho for the NCAA tournament last week. And if you're wondering where, it's Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene, beautiful lakeside community resort town.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just...
Coeur d'Alene Resort is very nice.
Oh, my God.
You got the floating green on Lake Coeur d'Alene at the golf course. Got some really good golf courses around there, like Circling Raven, really good golf course.
I mean, the area, for those who don't know, Coeur d'Alene, right on the other side of the border from Spokane. It's 25 minutes, maybe, total from downtown Spokane to
Coeur d'Alene. Yeah, it's not a far drive at all.
It's very quickly. But it is not just Coeur d'Alene. Idaho is a staunchly white state that has strong white supremacist ties.
Well, North Idaho in particular has quite the history with the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and, Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, not that Oregon doesn't have those ties either.
Absolutely.
Found it as a white haven, but Idaho takes it to another level.
No, it is. I mean, if you just look back, it doesn't take a lot of extensive Google search to just find out all you need to know about the white supremacy in North Idaho. It's got quite the history. and it is a lot of stupidity running around that area. And unfortunately, the NCAA Women's Tournament, Utah had to move their hotel because of it.
Yeah, this is the quote that came out. Racism is real and it happens and it's awful. For our players, whether they are white, black, green, whatever, no one knew how to handle it. And it was really upsetting. And for our players and staff to not feel safe in the NCAA tournament environment, it's messed up. So what ends up happening, as Dusty just alluded to, is the team was moved from a hotel in Coeur d'Alene into Spokane. And the tournament is being held in Spokane, which, even though it's on the other side of the border, still has its own issues. I was up there at Fairchild Air Force Base. I've seen the community around there. Not that it's not a great place, but it has its issues. The fact that they're going through this is disgusting and gross, and they should, the greater community of Idaho and Coeur d'Alene should be ashamed.
Yeah, then that has the one thing that has been like the kind of the spin out of what happened with Utah's basketball team is the aggressiveness with which the people in Spokane in the Coeur d'Alene area have kind of attacked and said, this is not who we are or who we want to be. It is a small amount of very dumb people who are attacking women's basketball team because of the color of their skin. It's one of the most infuriating and mind-numbing things that we continually have to go through in this country.
Well, then let's
here we are.
Let's find them and embarrass them, please. Please. Yeah. Somebody caught this on camera. Please. Sucks, somebody caught their license plate. Come on.
I mean, it's the same area, though, where, like, the KKK moved into town, and but this was, like, 8-9 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. The KKK moved in and left flyers on doorsteps. You guys remember this story? They left doorsteps saying, we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't
be
stupid.
Yeah.
And that is, it's sad, it's unfortunate. And look, for Spokane in the hosting a regional there, I mean, one of the places where everybody says, like, hey, they need to have more sports events here because they have a ton of hotel space up there. It is,
you've got
fans
show
out, especially for men's and women's sports as a whole. Like they go
because you have Gonzaga
to Spokane.
There. You have
Eastern Washington and Washington State are all right
as I say,
there.
You have them all right there. And again, a major reason for all of the hotels is you have Fairchild Air Force Base.
Yeah.
So you have a community. And I'll tell you this, military members, men's, women's sports, college sports, it doesn't matter. We will go watch anything. We will go. Give us tickets. We will go support.
Let's go.
So you get some fun crowds. It's interesting. It's what's really frustrating about this is because you do have a military installation there. You do have a very mixed population.
Yeah,
and it should be used to, and a lot of that stuff will. Not that the military doesn't have its own racist components. I'm not saying that. But typically, when you have a military installation in a region, you have a base that's mixed, and it's not abnormal to see somebody who doesn't look like you if you're lily white Eastern Oregonian.
Way to go, Coeur d'Alene.
Or Eastern Oregonian, Eastern Washingtonian or Idahoian.
Yeah,
Idaho.
Northern Idaho.
Did you see former Duck George Reister's tweet about this as
no.
well? Said that when he stayed in Coeur d'Alene back when he played Ducks football, I can't remember why they would have been there, probably for a game at Wazoo. And they
stayed in Moscow.
Okay, they stayed in Moscow.
Yeah.
And he said, this is a quote from George Reister's tweet, Coach Bellotti told the black players not to leave the hotel, that was not a safe place for them. And it is sad to me. I understand that, stupid people are going to be stupid. It's sad. 25 years later, we're still having people just act like
idiots. What do they call it? Was it sundown towns?
Yeah,
there's a couple of them in Idaho.
Ridiculous.
So.
Ridiculous.
As disgusting as that is. So that's our worst day on the web is Coeur d'Alene, Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho. Get your ass together. It's gross. And this is on top of the...
Way to go, North Idaho.
And again, this is not just an American issue. You take a look at what's going on in Spain right now, where you had racist incidents in a soccer game, and now you're going to have a friendly between Brazil and Spain that was organized after one of Brazil's top players had racist epithets.
Dude, international soccer
is bad.
Full. Like they, there's a whole net, there's a Netflix doc on it.
Go down to the Balkans. It gets nasty.
Gnarly.
So, coming up next, Draymond Green, Mr. New Media himself, sat down with Drew Holiday to go stir the pot about the Damian Lillard trade
saga.
Look
at this.
Oh, we'll get to that and more coming around Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Oh, you thought you were done with the Damian Lillard trade saga.
Wait,
wrong.
We're not?
Wrong. Now we're getting the other side of it. Draymond Green, Mr. New Media himself. Remember the guy who says he wants to talk about basketball and deliver you the things that nobody else talks about? Oh, no, wait. He's unearthing drama from almost a year ago.
Oh, snap.
Oh, weird. Draymond Green had Drew Holiday on his podcast.
Former Blazer great.
Yeah, indeed. He was. Former Trailblazer great. It's truly, truly tremendous stuff. But he had Drew Holiday on his podcast and asked him about the Damian Lillard trade saga and kind of how he felt when he found out, or how he found out he was being traded away to the Milwaukee Bucks to the Portland Trailblazers.
There's a bunch of reporting going on that Damian Lillard is going to get traded. No one knows where. He keeps saying Miami. Like, how soon with that did you know that you were getting traded?
I'm taking a nap. I see the text. I see a call from the GM, and I'm like, I'll call him back. Like, I'm deep in this nap too. I'm saying it's a it's a good one. And then 2 seconds later, my agent calls me. So I pick up his call. He's like, "You talk to him?" I'm like, "Nah, bro, I'm sleeping." He's like, "Well, you just got traded, so you should probably call him back." And then I ended up looking at my phone. He ended up texting me everything that was happening. Like, "Yeah, we traded you here." And then I ended up calling him, and he ended up saying like, "Yeah, we traded you for Damian Lillard." So I also had no clue. I think for me, it was just a shock because at least let me know 24 hours in advance, not 5 minutes in advance. And maybe I'm asking for too much. It's kind of like, I mean, I won there.
So the thing about this here is,
that's an interesting comment by him.
He wants to know, but what happens if they tell him and the deal falls apart? Which is what the Milwaukee Bucks basically made Joe Cronin and the Trailblazers stay quiet about. Because they didn't want to tell Drew, because if it did fall apart, they didn't want to have Giannis's BFF, Drew Holiday, pissed off at them.
Yeah.
Because it was going to cause turmoil in the locker room and be problematic for them going into the season where they're hiring a new coach already.
Yeah.
That's why it was held quiet. There are times regularly in the NBA season, trade discussions are had about guys. Nothing happens. Do you think that those...
Nothing.
They
happens.
Don't want that getting back to players. Do you know how often players are like, I want out of here?
Quite often.
And you know how often it gets out? Never.
Very
until
rarely.
Because they go to the very end.
And here's the thing about... Trades are really difficult. Like,
yes.
Everybody that, you know, in Portland, everybody wanted the trade with Neil Olshey. You know, get rid of CJ. Get a big haul with Joe Cronin. Get a deal done. Trades are hard to do. Mm-hmm. And very few GMs in the NBA are active on big swing trades. Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard, that's a big
trade.
That's
a massive move.
That is a once every couple of years type trade that happens. 24 hours is a long time. Now, could the Milwaukee Bucks have had this conversation sooner than
an hour?
It was coming down. Yeah, you could have. You could
when
have
you
given
knew
them
it was
heads up.
That it. Hey, the framework's agreed to. We just got to.
But there was also surprise from Damian Lillard that Milwaukee was his destination,
He didn't
too.
Know, until, bluntly, I know for a fact that Dame did not know until moments before it went through.
The same time frame that Drew Holiday knew.
Yeah.
And these conversations can happen very quickly. And you want to finalize it before it gets out and anybody finds out about it. Because loose lips sink ships, and it happens all the time that, all right, Milwaukee doesn't want this thing to get out because what if the Miami then sweetens that offer and comes up, even though I don't think they had any really thing.
But any other team.
But any other team goes, wait, Milwaukee's in on it. Why don't we get in on it?
Yes, and that was the thing is that when they started kind of talking about this, it was like, okay, if we engage with you, we're going to shut everybody else out.
Because what Milwaukee didn't want was maybe not Miami per se, but Philadelphia.
Boston.
Somebody to get into those deals.
Boston ended up getting into this deal anyways,
yeah.
Which Milwaukee knew might happen. They knew that trading Drew could end up in Miami. Drew could end up in Philly. Drew could end up in Boston. That was just something they were a risk they were willing to take.
It is one of the things that it sucks for those guys who are in it, who live that life and are professional athletes, but it also comes with getting paid millions of dollars.
Look,
is that you sign up for the fact that you may be traded out of nowhere and it may come as a complete and total shock to you.
Because he did, from everybody I've talked to in Milwaukee that covers that team, there was very much a sentiment that Drew wanted to remain there long term.
For sure.
In a fortuitous turn of events, you know, Dame is in Drew's house now.
Well, he probably was like, I'm going to Portland now. Which without Damian Lillard.
Portland assured him was not happening.
And they did right by him, and they sent him to a place where he has an opportunity to win a championship in Boston.
And they could have sent him to Utah.
Good.
Utah was a team that was chasing him hard.
Now look what Utah's doing. They just threw in the towel.
They were chasing him hard. They put a lot on the table.
But what do we make of Danny Ainge and what he's doing in Utah? Because he was wheeling and dealing, and he was doing his Danny Ainge thing, and he is that one of the very few GMs
that makes
those trades and seemingly has no limit to how many lives he has as a trader. What do we make of?
I mean, how many
they went
wrong?
From competing to now
they stripped
closing the door?
No, they stripped it down because they're looking at 2025. Their ownership group is fully on. Like, they brought Danny in to do this. There was no ifs, ands, or buts
about
it.
There was a time last year, and then at the beginning of this year, where you were going, are they on to something right now, this year, right now? And then all of a sudden, they just went,
well, yeah. Wah. They got rid of all the veterans.
Get rid of them all.
Lowry's the only one left. Damn. And they're not, he's 25.
And their assets moving forward, I think, obviously, it's Oklahoma City, and then you go way down. They've got a ton of picks.
Yeah, I mean, trading off Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, they've got, what, 7 draft picks? 7 first-round picks?
Yikes.
Yeah. Plus swaps.
That's a good little deal.
It's a nice... Well, look, they thought Donovan Mitchell was probably going to go to Cleveland and then bolt at the end of his contract. It very much looks like Donovan Mitchell is going to re-sign there because the new CBA precludes him from moving because nobody around the league is going to have the cap space to sign him outright.
They have 3 first-round picks in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
In a draft that is... loaded.
They have 2 2026 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
They have 3 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, whoa, 4 2027 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Unprotected pick from Minnesota, unprotected pick from Cleveland, and the Lakers' top 4 protected pick, and then their own pick in 2027. They have 2 first-round picks in 2028. They have 3 first-round picks in 2029.
Something's got to hit, though. The difference between them and Oklahoma City had all those picks, but they also had Shea.
And they the 2025 picks that they have from Minnesota and Cleveland are unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
In the what is widely regarded as the best draft in over a decade.
It's loaded.
They will have 3 first-round picks with no protections on them.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Not a bad place to be.
Not bad.
Now, Uncle Minnesota's Danny. Figuring some stuff out, and Cleveland's better, but...
Yeah.
You have your own pick, too. Things can go your way. It's, again...
Not too shabby.
They don't have the guy yet. Maybe you can say Lowry is their Jalen Williams. I think that's fair. But they have a lot of other stuff they need to sort through. But they have the ammunition to go try and figure it out. It's not a guarantee, but Utah is a team that has historically and always will be built through the draft because nobody's dying to get there.
No.
Or, the flip side of this is... There's long been the thought that the Utah Jazz are loading up to trade for Luka Doncic when he becomes available, that he'll get tired in Dallas, and they're going to spring the trap. Let me tell you, a Luka Doncic jersey in Utah is going to hit hard. I can't imagine how many Doncic jerseys are going to be in Utah.
Yeah, there'd be a lot, man. Probably is a lot there anyways.
Look, Cooper Flagg in Boston, Utah, or Portland is the number one selling jersey in the NBA. just going to leave that there. Cooper Flagg's jersey sales will feed families in those 3 cities for very, very obvious reasons. All right, coming up next, we're going to keep it in the NBA. Is Jontae Porter the dumbest man in sports? There is a lot to dive into here. Coming up in hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.